Hey everyone. As Brian introduced me, I'm Théophane. I'm a member of the Nick Suez Foundation board, but I'm not going to talk about that today because I'm also a Nix maintainer. I have been a Nix maintainer for the last few months, and I'm going to talk about the Nix package manager team, officially called the Nix team, but it's very confusing, so I won't call it like that, at least not in the first slide. Which is a team that has spawned a few months ago to actually expand a bit on the maintenance of Nix. The reason why we created this team is that Nix, in some ways, had a bad reputation. People, both for contributors and for users, with this idea that the maintainers of Nix didn't care about contributors and users, which is not great for it's not great for a product, and it's not great for an open source product. So, to be fair, that's not true. A slightly less wrong amended version would be that the single Nix maintainer doesn't have the bandwidth to care about all that, because it's one guy hacking on a fairly big project. For a bit of history, if you don't know Nix, originally that was a PhD project that Elko Dolstra started. And then it has grown up progressively, the community has expanded. But until recently, that was still only maintained by Elko Dolstra as one person, which was definitely not enough for something of that size. But regardless of the fact that, it's not someone not caring about anything, it's really more of an organizational problem. Well, that's not great. That's not great for a number of reasons. So as I said, contributors didn't really feel like they were as appreciated as they should have been. A lot of pull requests stayed unanswered for a long time or forever. Even when they were answered, there was no guarantee that you could get an actual yes or no answer to, is this pull request something that's going to be merged eventually? There was also no way for contributors to know before the fact whether what they were doing could fit the Nix style guide, because there was one, there still is one, but only one person knew it. And so as a contributor, it was really tough to contribute to Nix because of all these kind of little things. Another problem, which is more something for the users, is that the release process of Nix was a bit chaotic. The 2.3 release of Nix was somewhere around 2018. Anyway, don't remember the exact dates. But then Nix went for 2 years without a release. And when the 2.4 release came, I just made some quick stats, and I'm going to show up the interesting numbers. So Nix was 55,000 lines of C++ at that time, only counting the implementation files. And the diff between the 2.3 and 2.4 release was 32 new lines, or lines changed. So essentially, half of Nix had been rewritten between the two releases. And as you can guess, that came with a number of breakages. Honestly, very few breakages given the size of the diff, but still way enough to annoy users. Regardless of the breakages, new features had been introduced, but not necessarily properly documented, or experimental features had been added and were officially experimental, but that was not properly communicated. So people started relying on them as if they were actually stuff that you could use for production. And then they got changed because they were just experimental, and people got angry about that. Rightfully from their point of view, unrightfully from the point of view of the maintainers for which these were experimental, you should just not rely on them. But anyway, that led to a lot of frustration, and that has been going on for a long time. I think we could say that Nix has starting being really a big enough project since the early 2010s. And it has kept growing ever since. So the frustration has kept growing with that. So in 2018, a group of people just sat together and decided that this just couldn't keep going. And so they decided to create the Nix core team, whose responsibility was exactly this, like improve the maintenance of Nix, make it clear what design decisions are, where the project is going, what contributors can expect from them, and what we expect from contributions, so that we could smoothen all that. So this core team was a great idea, but at least to me at that time, I wasn't that much involved in Nix at that time. I was only a user and very casual contributor. The main contribution for the Nix core team that I saw was one year later, another announcement that the core team was disbanded because it hadn't done anything meaningful in that year. So yeah, that was unfortunately a bit of a failure. Now, in the meantime, I've came to contribute more and more to Nix. It also happened that Elko and I got colleagues for some time, which really helped smoothen things a lot for my contributions, because I could just ping him and say, hey, Elko, I have this pull request. Can you please review it? That was really helpful, but fortunately, I guess that depends, but not everyone got to be Elko's colleague, so that model couldn't really scale. And at some point we thought, well, we need to do something and maybe try again what that Nix core team didn't manage to do. But then the big question is, how can we succeed if that core team failed? And like for the record, that team, if you look at the co-authors here, these were the biggest members of the Nix community at that time. That was not just a group of random people showing up and saying, hey, we want to maintain Nix. That was really a big community effort. So how could we make something that works? And why maybe could we make it work now? I'll maybe expand a bit later on the how. The first question is, the first thing is that the circumstances were actually very different. If you look, I digged a bit in the GitHub history stats. This is very blurry, but that way you won't be tempted to read all the numbers, and you will just show the big shape of the graph. So these are the first, the main committers to Nix between 2003 and 2020. So that graph represents Elko's contributions. And these very, 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 very tiny graphs that, I can see that one. It's not smaller than the pixels on the screen, but barely. So these are the other main contributors. So as you can see, that's really a one-person project with some contributors. If we look between 2021 and 2023, and I'm probably getting out of the camera field, so I'm going to stay where I am. You can see that, Elko is still the main contributor. That's no question about that. But then things are much more well distributed after that. So that means that there's actually people who potentially are already investing enough time in Nix and could really take on maintenance. And another key ingredient that also probably was missing at the time is that between 2018 and today, the Nix community has kept growing, and we have more and more industrial players in that community, and more people who are paid to work on Nix. Elko has the chance of always having been paid to work on Nix, more or less, first as a PhD student, then getting hired by a company which gave him a lot of time to hack on it, then another, and so on. But for a long time, he was mostly the only one, at least for Nix itself. But now things are changing. We're kind of growing up. We're a real community of people actually handling money and having people who have time to do this kind of boring and painful things of reviewing pull requests of code that someone else wrote. And obviously, I didn't write it myself, so it's not good, and I don't want to read it. But now we can leverage that. And so that's what we did. So we gathered a group of people. We sat together with Elko and the other, people who would be like, who are now team members of that team. And everyone agreed that this was a great idea. We had a lot of disagreements on the tiny details because obviously that's how things go. But eventually we formed that team. We announced it officially saying, hey, everyone agrees that there's problems. So we're just going to create a team to try and solve these problems. We set a simple ambitious goal for the team, which was to basically take ownership of that Nix source code and lead it to both to higher standards, both for contributors and for the end users, so that contributors could know that their contributions would be taken into account, or know that they wouldn't in case these weren't things that we thought should land into Nix. At least they should have clarity. And the users should know that Nix was something that they could rely on, that was robust, that fixes were merged in time, that they had clear expectations on the support they could get. And because Nix starts to be reasonably big, we also thought that a single team of 4 or 5 people, that's already better than a team of one person. But that's still not enough, really, to manage the size of the Nix code base. Well, not so much the size. The code base is not that big, but the vitality and the amount of pull requests and issues that come in. So we decided that the first mean by which we would want to take ownership of that code was to actually enable more maintainers and contributors by writing some clear contributing guides so that people knew what to expect, by trying and grow more maintainers out of the existing contributors base so that we would not be a bottleneck for someone having his pull request answered. And as part of that stewardship, I forgot a bit of history. So this was the main step towards that. But actually, someone decided to bite the bullet on another topic some month earlier. And same thing. People sat down together and decided, well, the Nix release process is not great. We need to improve that. Let's just have a fixed schedule, one release every 6 weeks. That's arbitrary. Probably half of this rule would say, well, this is a bad way of doing releases. You could use Semver. Another half would say, well, this is a bad way of doing things. Just do leave hat head. And the other half might agree. But anyway, everyone agreed that having that was better than nothing. Oh, and I'm talking too much. But then this release schedule also was something that was still in Elko's hands. And that, doing a release is not a big deal, but you have to think about it. And if you're the only one who's tasked every 6 weeks to do that, well, certainly, please don't go on vacation at the date of the release, because otherwise you're going to annoy everything. And please don't forget about it, because then you're going to have 20 people yelling at you because you're 3 days late. So that team was also a way to share a bit this responsibility. And the big question then is, did we succeed? I hope so. I really, really hope so. I don't think I gave you the date already, but we started all that last September, which means that we are 6 months in. And 6 months in, it's still a bit tough to see. The main indicator I have to think that probably we've succeeded is that we've turned the Nix commit tree into something that starts to look like a plausible metro map, which is always a good thing when you're maintaining an open source project. But in addition to that, for some less tangible factors, I think that the team is going reasonably well. And Nix is starting to move forward at a more sustainable and previsible pace, which makes me very, very hopeful for the future. And just adding 2 minutes to expand a bit of that, on that, because this Nix team is not an isolated phenomenon. It's part of a growing movement within the Nix community to try and structure the fundamentals of the ecosystem, starting with something that Domaine briefly mentioned, which was the NixOS Foundation board, which got expanded a few months ago to try and be more proactive within the community and expand on his previous role, which was mostly pay for the infrastructure. And this also materialized with the emergence of a lot of different teams, the marketing team, which was created a bit more than a year ago, then a team dedicated on the documentation, which I think nearly every speaker here at some point said that the documentation is a problem for Nix. So everyone agrees that this is a problem. Another team that got created around the maintenance of Nix packages, which is like, correct me, but I think that's the seventh more active GitHub repo. And well, when you have something of that size, you'd better not have it just be something informally maintained by whoever happens to pass by and want to make some changes. So all that is like part of a big community movement towards organizing these kind of things, which makes me very happy and very hopeful for the future of the Nix community in general. And since I want to leave some time for questions, I'm going to stop right here. And if you want to know more after that, we can always have a chat or contact me wherever. Thank you.
We have time for one or two questions, depending on the size. So, are there any questions? Maybe not directly related, but so when, if ever, will flakes be the default?
That's a big question. So the question was, okay, the question was when, if ever, will flakes be the default? With a comment by someone whom I not name, who said that it was under embargo and I couldn't answer that. And so the answer, one answer is when it's going to be ready. And actually, so a huge part of the Nix team discussions were about refining the semantics of flakes to make sure that all the little corners that we wanted to have cut before actually making its table were cut. So I would definitely wouldn't advance a date or a time. But it has been, it's progressing. Which doesn't answer your question, I know.
One more question over here.
Okay. From your perspective, where those fit projects such as TDX, which are your implementation of Nix, how are you going to engage with them? Are you even considering engaging with them for the Nix project?
Okay, so the question was how we were considering projects like TDX, which is a re-implementation of Nix, and whether we wanted to engage with them or whether we were already engaging with them. So I think I cut that in my screenshot here, but actually one of the explicit goals of the team was to actually engage with any third party that could be interesting to engage with. That obviously included the TVX guys, which we didn't do because, people never do what they say, you know that. Which is definitely something that we want to do. In the case of TVX in particular, for two reasons. One of them being that TVX was really born out of the very frustrations we talked to at the beginning. So it would be interesting to have their feedback on whether they feel that things are moving in the right direction. And also because, let's be honest, having another implementation of Nix, which is kind of a concurrent, it's a real lot of pain. Like, these people are doing what we want to do, but it's also great because they are the TVX people came every once in a while, for example, with opening an issue saying, oh, there's this very, very weird piece of semantics in Nix when you trigger this specific in this specific code, I don't know whether that's a bug or not. I'm probably going to re-implement it for TVX because I want to be bug by bug compatible. But is this really what you intended? In general, the answer is no. But my point is that I think we would gain a lot from collaborating a bit more together. Yeah.
One more round of applause, please.
Thank you.